Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much that you've put your word in Dave's heart. Thank you that you have put your word in our hearts, Lord, if we choose to let it come in. And Lord, this morning we all want to say that we do choose to hear your word and to hear your messenger. And Lord, just thank you for the preparation you've given to Dave. Just pray that you'd help him to share what's on your heart with us and that we'd be willing ears and willing hearts. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Last spring, in June, our family was sitting around the dinner table, reading wherever we were at the scripture at the time, and we came in our Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter 2, and I began reading these words. 1 John chapter 2, this is our main text. If you have your Bible, you might want to turn to 1 John. We read these words in chapter 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So as a family, we're reading. Dear children, I write that you won't sin. John wants us to live in life. John wants us to not live in sin. But if you do, which we will, the goal is that we live in life. But if you sin, if you fall short, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. And I got to thinking about Jesus, who called himself the firstborn among many brothers. And I got to thinking about the two brothers in our household and about how it is when one brother falls and how the other brother, before Dad can come and get him in trouble, the other brother comes and says, "No, Dad, let me tell you something." Is that how it is in your house? No, it wasn't when I was growing up either. Before Father has a chance to see that you messed up, your brother's over there talking to Dad. "Hey, you know what he did to me?" And how opposite this is, that Jesus, the firstborn among many brothers, runs to the Father, not to be a tattletale, not to get you in trouble, but to save you. What an amazing story. And so I begin to think about this. In the next 6 Sundays, we're going to be talking about Jesus, our advocate. Jesus, our defender. Jesus, the one who intercedes for you and I. Jesus, who's on our side. And don't misunderstand this passage, you're going to see in a little bit. It's not that Jesus is on our side and Father's on the other side. Don't let the lie of the enemy come that way. They're both on our side. We read the same passage from the ESV. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you might not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He is the propitiation for our sins. What's that word all about? The atoning sacrifice. He is the sacrifice that removes us from the wrath of God. He is the offering given that satisfies the righteous, holy demand that you and I must die if we're found wanting, which we are. We have one who speaks to the Father, who is also that sacrifice, that gift for us. We have one who atones, who makes us at one with the one from whom we have been estranged, we have been separated, we have been alienated from God. And so John writes to us and says, we really don't want to sin. We want to live in life. We want to always have it perfect. But if you mess up, got good news for you. We have one who speaks to the Father, or as the ESV says, speaks with the Father for our defense. He is the propitiation for our sins. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We do have an advocate. We have one who intercedes on behalf of us. He's talking with the Father who's also on our side. Think about that a minute. When your children do wrong, are you against them? When you bring discipline? Of course not. We want what's best for them. We don't want them to mess up their lives. We don't want them to have the trouble that goes along with their rebellion. And so we bring correction. God Almighty is on our side. Jesus, whenever we mess up, counsels with His Father about our defense. Intercedes with His Father on our behalf. Protects us from the wrath of God that we deserve. It's not just that the Father is some big, powerful, unmoving, angry God, and Jesus goes pleading to Him, weeping, showing His scars, and says to Him, please, won't you just one more time forgive this poor, lousy Derek?
Amen. Amen.
He's not trying to wring a favor out of the unmoving, angry God. He is at one with His Father. He said to Philip, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. My Father and I are one. And the Father and He together have always had a provision for our sin. Have always provided from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and in our lifetime, God has always been for us. Always had a heart to bring back to relationship those who have been estranged. That's the heart of God. John goes on in this book, a few chapters later in chapter 4, we read, because God is love, this is John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, because God is love, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This isn't about Jesus going and getting a favor that's begrudgingly allowed by the angry God. This is a great story about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, with a plan to bring all people into fellowship with Him again. And when we sin, when we fall short, we live under the wrath of God. Nothing is waiting for us except His wrath, His punishment, darkness, gnashing of teeth, pain and suffering in hell. But He doesn't want that for His children. And so there's a way for us. God loved us so much that out of His love, together with His Son, it says in chapter 4, He sent His one and only Son into the world so that you and I might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God sent Jesus for the very purpose of making us one, atoning, of making us at one who had been alienated. It wasn't that God was alienated from us. We are the ones who were alienated from God. He never changed in His favor towards us. He never changed in His mercy and His love. He's never changed in His desire to create order. to bring joy, to bring life. He's never changed. We are the ones, due to our rebellion, who are alienated from God. We are the ones who needed something to happen. And the change didn't come because we decided something. The change came because He decided something. Us coming into fellowship with God wasn't our choice. It's not quite right to sometimes say, I decided to follow Jesus. I know what we mean by that. But don't forget that before that could even happen in our heart, He decided to send Jesus. Before we ever had a thought of following Jesus, He knew before the creation of the world. He planned, He provided salvation, not only for you, but for all who will believe. Jesus is our advocate. Jesus, our advocate, is like a way to give us confidence at the judgment day. Jesus, our advocate, comes, John says, for the purpose that we might be full of confidence when judgment day happens. Look at this verse, chapter 4, a bit further down, verse 17. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like Him. We come into this fellowship with God. We put our trust in what Jesus has done. We find out that He has come our way. He has provided what was needed. And suddenly we breathe a sigh of relief and says, it's okay. If Jesus shows up tomorrow, I'm okay. Isn't that wonderful confidence? Wonderful security. I want to give you a story that happened this week, which might help us to think about this a little bit differently, hopefully accurately. Jesus is our advocate. It's a little bit like having your roof replaced. This is a wonderful picture of West Coast Christian School, which started classes this week with a whole lot of fun, a 10% increase in growth, and a whole lot of happy people. But the roof wasn't finished yet, and so construction is happening. And I'll tell you a little story about how Jesus is our advocate, and our life is a bit like a roof that gets a new roof. The story goes that at this school, the shingles were removed, torn right down to that wood decking. We all know that this school has a beautiful wood ceiling on the inside, and on the top side of that is wonderful shingles that are being removed right down to the wood. And then, of course, 2-inch rigid foam is added on top for a wonderful isolation. Not isolation, insulation. They call it ISO. ISO insulation. We're going to have the warmest school and the coolest school. And double pane, low E glass skylights have been added as well. And they look beautiful. And the contractor put in all of this wonderful foam. And over top of it, covered it with a wonderful membrane. Stuck it all down. Did hours and hours of work with a big crew of men. And then the roofing inspector came. It was just about ready to put metal on top. The roofing inspector arrived. It's a good man. He's on our side. He wants what's best. He's on the contractor's side. He's not against the contractor. But he comes with his book of laws, his code. He is unbiased. He is pure. He always makes right decisions according to the letter of the law. He's the building inspector. Nothing passes him. Why? Because he will guarantee that your roof is up to code, that it will be successful, and that the contractor has done a good job. Of course, not everything was perfect. There's a wrinkle here and a crack there. Some red lines and arrows and little things. So we're not perfect. That's how we are, isn't it? I'm not that bad. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm not that bad. This is minor stuff. It's fixable. But then there was one big problem. The inspector took a photograph and wrote a report. And he said these awful words. This wood substrate is not, da-da-da-da-da, there should be a vapor barrier installed before the insulation as per building code. Now that's a big problem. The contractor has done a lot of work. And he thinks he's doing okay. He's one of these good people. How about you and I? I'm all right. It's not perfect, but we're good, man. We got a good life. God understands. No, not everything's exactly like he would say, but he understands. No. The building inspector doesn't understand. Someday, your roof is going to fail. All of that moisture on the inside will come through. You must have a vapor barrier. You've got beautiful wood decking. You've got beautiful foam. You've got beautiful membrane. You're about to put on a beautiful standing seam galvalum roof. But you missed that all-essential piece of plastic that provides a barrier from the corruption below. Those wonderful children. A barrier from all of the moisture and condensation that will destroy your beautiful roof. Your foam is wonderful. Your wood decking is wonderful. Your membrane is wonderful. But if the moisture from inside comes through, and the contractor said, but there's 3 inches of wood underneath. There's 2 inches of tongue and groove. And then on top of that is 2 layers of flat plywood. And the inspector says, but it's wood. There's only one way. There's only one answer. There is only one provision. It has to have a vapor barrier. We know what's under there. Everybody knows it has 2-inch tongue and groove wood. It looks beautiful on the bottom. And on top, it has a wood decking and now our foam. Take it off. Not good enough. Rejected. He stamps his report. Now, what would you do if you got a report like that and you were the contractor, the builder of your life? What do you do when in your own life, we're not perfect, but then somebody approaches you and says, actually, you're not going to make it. You're on your way to hell. I'm not that bad. How do you respond? Please, don't talk to me about it. I don't want to hear any more. Anger. How dare you say such a thing to me? Other people respond with, I can't afford this. How much is it going to cost? We have to tear all this off. We have to start over. You know how many years I've put into this? I've been living this way for how long? You want me to start over now at this age? Are you crazy? I've been fine all these years. What do you mean I'm not going to be good next year? What do you mean I'm not going to be good if Jesus comes back? What do you mean it's going to fail? It's too much. The cost is too high. Run! Maybe I just drop this job and run. And I just get flat out scared. What am I going to do? Talk about a stressful life. We respond this way when someone tells us that our life doesn't measure up to God, the Almighty, Righteous, Holy Judge. We want to run because we don't know who He is. We don't know that actually He's on our side. That building inspector is not against us. He's not against the contractor. He's simply telling you what's going to work and what's not going to work. He wants us to have life. He wants us to have a good product. He wants us to have a roof that's going to last. That's how Jesus is. That's how God Almighty is. But He's holy. He's righteous. Nothing gets past Him. He doesn't bend. He is the plumb line that says correct or incorrect. But He's on our side. And He has an advocate who He sent here long ago. And that was planned before He ever created the heavens and the earth. Jesus was in the plan before the beginning. It was always in the plan that the advocate would come and reveal how deep the love of God is for you and I. And so an advocate comes. There's good news. There's somebody on our side. There's someone who knows what has been hidden and is now going to make it known. When you first hear about Jesus and you first hear that you don't measure up, you want to run or you get scared or you get angry because you don't know the rest of the story. But somebody knows the rest of the story. And one who has been hidden since the creation of the world is about to be revealed to us. And there's an advocate that comes on our side and says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. You didn't find the answer, I found the answer. You can't fix your problem. You're about to run." But then Jesus taps us on the shoulders and says, "Wait, I'm choosing you. You didn't choose me, you might respond to me, but I've chosen you." He's on our side. And in our current event story of last week, that advocate had a plan, dug down deep, took off layers of wood, and looked underneath what we always knew. We always knew that there was wood decking, plywood, shingles, or so we thought. But hidden since the beginning of the creation of this building was not wood decking and then shingles. But instead, there was wood decking and then a vapor barrier and an inch of foam and an airspace and more decking and shingles. And the advocate ran back. That was me. The advocate ran back. Ran back to the building inspector and said, "I've found an answer here from the beginning. Is this what you're talking about in your building code?" "Yes, that's what I'm talking about. That vapor barrier will protect the interior of the roof from the wicked corruption below. The condensation that will rot out your life. The separation from the world." Woohoo! What good news that is. Woo! He's on our side. And we dance for joy and we sing songs and we go crazy during Sunday morning church services because of this news. That He is on our side. Jesus, the advocate on our side. "My dear children, I write these things so that you might not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father."
For those of you listening on internet or tape, we just lost a battery. We're back. Jesus is our advocate, the sacrifice, the atoning difference for us. I'm going to read to you a quote from Mr. Smalley. In our need of divine forgiveness, says the writer John, we have an effective intercessor to act for us, to present our case to God the Father. We cannot do this for ourselves, since we are sinners. But the risen Jesus does so on our behalf. As Son, He pleads for the sinner with the Father. This means that Jesus intercedes in the presence of God, but He does so actively. He's with the Father. He asked for our forgiveness for anyone who receives Him. The promise is for all of us. Jesus came that you and I might live. It was God's plan. We come up short. And like a contractor, there's absolutely nothing you can do to fix it. It's all about to be torn away and cast into utter darkness, burned in the rubble, until Jesus comes and says, no, there's something waiting for you. It's always been there. Got a surprise for you. And He puts His foundation under your life, and He separates you from sin, and He brings you His life. Now you live in His life. The only difference between a believer and an unbeliever is that one has a protection that separates them from corruption. Whether your corruption causes you to have an anger problem, or your corruption causes you to have a drug or alcohol problem, or your corruption causes you to have any other myriad of shortfalls, the only difference for you and anyone else is that Jesus can come and separate you and cut you off from all of that. It's not something that you do. He's already done it. And so you and I as believers are called believers, not doers, believers. We don't act out something. We don't do a bunch of good things to get His favor. We rest on the protection that allows us to continue to live in the world, but not of the world, separated and cut off from the contamination of the world. And we live in that space called the life of Christ. May God help us. Because when we believe, John says, we have confidence before the judgment. Your confidence isn't based in, did you do good last week? Did you mess up last week? Your confidence is based in, is Jesus provided or isn't He? And the advocate reveals that He is. He's here. He's already done it. His work is finished. Put your faith, your belief, on what He has done, and not on 10 good things you're going to do next week. Just trust Him. Don't sin. Live in life. But if you sin, you have an advocate to protect you. God bless you all.